For you are my hope, O God. In verse 14 he says, but I will hope continually. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have hope. We have been working with a series of lessons called Spiritual Wellness. And in these lessons, we looked at the question of how well do we share and how well do we care for one another. Caring and sharing promotes spiritual wellness in the body, in the church, in the individual saint. Paul, he taught us that all members are members of one body, that we should do the same in caring for one another as Jesus cared for us. If one member is hurting, then the whole body suffers. If one member is honored, the whole body is honored. And when we genuinely care for one another, we help one another with our burdens. We will always be there for one another to help each other in the times of trouble and to encourage and strengthen the brethren, just as Jesus commanded Peter in Luke 22 and verse 26 and 5 and 6. 22 verse 32, where he told Peter that when you return, strengthen the brethren. And this will promote spiritual wellness in the church. And when we think of this also, we ask the second question in our second lesson is, how well do we talk? You know, we're not talking about addressing English issues or grammar or vocabulary. We're not talking about focusing on our clarity of speech, but the kind of words that come out of our mouth. Are the words that we speak those encouraging words like Jesus is the Savior? Listen, my friend, I know you're hurting and I know you're troubled by life, but we have a Savior who can release you from all those burdens and troubles. A Savior who said, come unto me, all you that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, Jesus said. Are we saying words like, brother, I love you. Brother, I'm so encouraged by you. Sister, you have done so much for me. You lift me up. Your presence here just marvels me. Are we saying kind words that are exhorting and encouraging, words that are edifying to the hearer, as Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 5? Good for edification. And why is it important for us to use good words? Well, in our study, we understood that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, Jesus said that we will be judged by every idle word. We will give an account for every idle word. When you think about what the word idle means, it's just words that are spoken without care. They're unprofitable words. They're unproductive words. They're empty words. Words that do not edify. Words that do not encourage. Jesus wasn't telling us that we couldn't exhort, rebuke, and correct. But he's telling us, in our day-to-day language, in our day-to-day dealings with one, we need to be encouraging and have profitable words. Words with meaning. Not like the world, who teach 32 some thousand different doctrines, and their words are without weight, their clouds without water. But we have to have words that have content. And that content is Jesus. We must contrast the good with the evil, the right with the wrong, the moral with the immoral. And we also must understand, in Matthew 12 and 34, Jesus tells us And this is the reason why we need to be very aware of what comes out of our mouths. We need to be conscious. We need to look in the mirror that reflects our words and remember the things we say to people. Because what comes out of our mouth, those are the words that are developed and formed in your heart. So guard those eyes, guard those ears. Make sure that what goes into this heart is good and pleasing and acceptable in the will of God. So that what comes out of your mouth is good and pleasing and acceptable to the will of God. A sweet-smelling savor and aroma that rises up to the throne of grace and God is pleased. Very careful about every idle word. Today we want to talk again about spiritual wellness. And our question today is, how well do you hope? Think about that Psalm 71. And how he hoped in the Lord. And he hoped continually in the Lord. And he accepted the Lord as his mighty rock, as his fortress. Because that's what hope gives us. I want you all to imagine with me now that it's April 15th, 11:40 p.m. And you're on a cruise ship. And you are just having the time of your life. Free food everywhere, wonderful smell of the ocean, and you're just relaxing from a long year's burden at work, taking a vacation. You're on the ship, the RMS Titanic. You hear a crashing sound, and the ship shakes underneath your feet, and suddenly you hear the call for all the passengers to come out to the outer deck. You're told that the ship is sinking. But you say to yourself, self, I have nothing to fear. I have hope because we have lifeboats. Don't worry. There are life jackets. Don't worry. About 2 hours passes. It's now 11:40 or 1:40 a.m. The ship is seriously listing. It's sinking quickly. And now you begin to understand that there are no lifeboats left. There are no life jackets left. And you're beginning to lose hope. All hope is lost. Your heart begins to pound. Your mind swims. And you're full of terror, uncontrolled emotion. Minutes become seconds. Seconds. They go by in half seconds, and finally time means nothing at all. Despair fills your whole being as the forward of the ship begins to sink below the water. And at 2:20 a.m., you hear the tearing that the ship is breaking apart and quickly sinks into the deep. And you hit the water gasping for air. The water is 28 degrees Fahrenheit. And you can only live for about 15 to 30 minutes because after that time your heart will cease to beat. This is what it must have been for the 1,500 plus souls who died that day. Tragic. That's the word that describes many people today. There are many people today who are not on a ship of the physical sense, but they're walking upon the trod of this planet, and this is the ship that is sinking. And they live their life day to day in fear. Their fear of the future. They're fearing the power of others around them that seem to control them all the time. And some even fear death, knowing that death is inevitable. Their life is filled with sin and despair. One drama after another that controls them spiritually. They're overcome by worldliness. They're overcome by weakness. They feel hopeless and they simply succumb to the ways of the world. And they believe that this is all there is. And they live out their lives miserable. Now on the other side, we have the people of God. The people who have hope in a risen Christ. The people who have hope in the washing of the blood of Christ. Members of the body of Christ, the church. And these know that this life, and no matter what it brings, is just a vapor that's here today and gone tomorrow. How well is your hope? You see, people of God, we know that there is an eternal life after this life, and we anxiously await for that, and we are able to boldly say to live as Christ and to die as gain, whose hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and on His righteousness. We don't trust in the sweetest frame. Did you hear those words in that song? The trust is not in the sweetest frame. The old English Oxford Dictionary describes that word sweetest frame as something of an advantage or a benefit. We don't trust in advantages in this world. We don't trust in benefits that come in this world. Our trust is in God, our Father, the Creator of all things, and Jesus Christ and His Word, His righteousness. Our trust is in the cross. Our trust is in His blood. Jesus is our hope. He is our comforter. He is our hope for safety. He is our hope for spiritual growth. Jesus is our rock and our stability. And He is the only hope that we have to have a relationship with the Father who has made many mansions and prepared a place for those who are in that hope. And so we must set our hope on Jesus Christ and nothing less. Nothing less. And when we do that, in Him all other hopes will be met. Every need that you have will be met. Alone we stand upon that solid rock, God's children, because all other ground is just sinking sand. That word hope comes from the Greek word elpis. And it means favorable and confident expectation. You know, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, His resurrection, His defeating death, His resurrection up into heaven, now that He's the intercessor on our behalf between us and the Father, and the hope that He's coming back. We stand on that hope. Our faith is built on hope. It's an important piece of every Christian's life. You know, it's something that we must do, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 13, we must abide in hope. And it's having a relationship with our Father. Not like the idols and the gods of many, many religions that have eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear and hands that can't do anything and feet that can't move. But the living God. And that produces patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And let's talk about today various degrees of hope that one has, and how this reveals much about the state of their spiritual wellness. And the first of these is a degree of hope is those who are without hope. Now we're talking about those who died outside of Christ to begin with. In your Bibles, in the book of Luke, if you look in the book of Luke chapter 16 and beginning in verse 19, you read about a certain rich man. And then as you go along, you read about a fellow named Lazarus, who was full of sores, who was laid at the rich man's gate. And the Bible tells us that that beggar died, that the rich man died, and they both went into Hades. One went into torment, and one went into the bosom of Abraham. But that one that was in torment, he died, and he has no hope. He was down there trying to get just a touch of water to cool his tongue. He was down there without hope, wanting to get a message off to his sons that they would never be in the place that he is without hope. When you die outside of Christ, you have no hope. It ends. There are no second chances. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us it's appointed unto all men to die once and then the judgment. You see, after death there is no hope for reconciliation. There is no hope to bow the knee and confess with the tongue that Jesus is the Christ. All hope is gone. This should be a sober thought in our minds the older we get. We ought to be thinking a whole lot more, knowing that that day of death will approach quickly. And we don't know what that day or time will be. We just are certain it will come. There are no second chances. And those who are alive but without God have no hope. I want you to think about that. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul's talking about the Gentiles versus the Jews. That the Jews at that time, they had hope. But the Gentiles, the rest of the world, they were strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, these people live from day to day like the people in the opening description, that their life is filled with troubles and turmoils and they don't have any hope, but they don't have God. And if you don't have God, if you don't have the Lord and His blood placed upon you, then you don't have hope. In 2 John chapter 9, or verse 9, the Bible tells us that if we do not abide in or transgress the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. If you don't have the Lord, His Word in you, if you're not abiding in it, you don't have God and you don't have hope. Another person that doesn't have hope are those people who sorrow greatly over the loss of loved ones. These are a people that they don't have hope because they don't believe in God. They don't really understand what it means to die in Christ. Because that means you will never die. You will just pass from life to life. But they believe that death is the end of all things, and they're most miserable people. Doesn't this describe many people in the world today? But there's another degree of hope. Those who have little hope, because they're weighed down by the world and all the worldly cares. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible, Luke talks about the seed that is sown in the hearts of so many. And as we look at this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, see what he writes. Now the ones, the seeds, that is, that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. These are those who are without hope. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing drunkenness of this life. And the day, that's the day of judgment, the day of the Lord's return will come on you unexpectedly. People who have little hope And there's also people who have little hope who focus on the moment. In Acts chapter 27, we have an account of the Apostle Paul being taken off on a ship. He's being literally taken over to where he'll eventually face death. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 23, we read that the Apostle Paul, in verse 23, the Apostle Paul says that an angel stood with me that night of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you and all those who are with you." But you know, eventually a big tempest arose and the winds began to blow and the seas jumped up and the ship was in peril. And all the people were afraid, but Paul had instructed them that not one man should ever leave that ship, that God will protect them. No one will die. But they didn't believe it. Some of them tried to get away and they had to be stopped. And you know, all 276 of those souls were saved. There are also those who don't seriously think about their hope. The gospel is presented. Jesus is preached. People hear the truth and the word of God, but then they act like King Agrippa. And they gently say, "You almost persuade me." Don't be almost persuaded. We're not playing horseshoes. We're talking about your eternal life, your soul. Don't be an Agrippa in your life. Don't be almost persuaded. Go all the way. Obey the Lord. Keep His commandments. And He will save your soul from death. And then there are those who have a false hope. Jesus warned of false prophets in Mark 13 and 22. Because why? Because they follow false teachers. These people have a false hope. Look in 2 Peter with me. In chapter 2, 2 Peter, chapter 2, in verse 1, Peter writes, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring out destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth was blasphemed." In verse 14 it says, "They could not cease from sin." In verse 17, they're described as wells without water. These clouds, they're carried by the tempest. They have no substance. And in verse 19, it describes what these false teachers do. They promise them liberty, and they themselves are slaves of corruption. Listen, there are so many people in this world who follow false teachers. And we have one shepherd we talked about this morning, the shepherd of our souls, the overseer, the authority. That's Jesus and His word and His righteousness. Those who have living hope are those who have obeyed the Lord. Such are those who are in Christ Jesus. Go back a few pages to 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us." That would be those who have believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ. "Again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice." Those who are in Christ have been given good hope by the grace of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. And that being in Christ enables us through hope. That being in Christ enables us through hope to rejoice. And that ought to describe every one of us who are in Christ Jesus. We need to rest on that hope. We walk by faith, not by sight. And our hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And let's consider the importance of hope now. Hope plays an important spiritual role in our spiritual wellness. Just as faith and love are critical to spiritual well-being, also is our hope. It's our motivation. We have the hope of one day being like Jesus. Behold, we're the children of God, John says. And it's not known yet what will be revealed that we shall be like, but we know that we will be like Him when He is revealed. We're going to be one day with Christ in the likeness of Christ. This hope serves also to motivate. You know, it motivates one to purity. When you know that the goal is heaven, when you know that eternal life is before you, when you know that you have been washed by the blood, and you know that you can no longer walk in sin, because you want to do what is good and pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, then it motivates us to purify ourselves. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself, just as he is pure, John wrote. We need the motivation, which is our hope. And when we think about the importance of hope, I think we've already kind of laid the foundation of how important hope is, because hope is our strength. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 3, it tells us that hope produces patience. It produces endurance. We remember without ceasing, Paul says, your labor of faith and love and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God. This is amazing and powerful because it gives us strength to overcome, to see our way past all the trials and the tribulations of life. We're going to have troubles, but we can cast our cares upon Christ because He cares for us. And the world that does not have Jesus, they can't claim that. And hope leads us. We're eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord. He is coming. We know that because from the very before the foundation of the world, God said it. When He created the world, He set it in motion. And then when He gave us the Word of God, He has told us. And that Word came down from heaven, from the glories of heaven, and walked among us, and healed the blind, the lame, and the sick. He walked upon the water. He calmed the storms of life. And because of those things and the witnesses that we talked about this morning, we have great hope and we eagerly await. We have great expectation that our Lord will come one day. Today, tomorrow, a year from, we don't know. But we live in that hope. We also joy in hope, or hope for joy. We rejoice in hope and we're... Such joyful hope leads to that patience and that tribulation. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Such joyful hope leads to the patience and tribulation. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we are looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. Do you ever wonder, how did Jesus look to the cross with joy? And the answer's in the text, because of what's on the other side. He didn't look at the suffering as joy. He didn't look at the men spitting on Him as joy. He didn't look at the scourging as joy. Carrying that cross up the hill to Calvary, that wasn't joy. Having people divide His clothing and cast lots for them wasn't joy. Being mocked and ridiculed on the cross, that wasn't joy. But He endured all those things because on the other side of that cross was being with the Father in heaven. And there's our hope. How well is your hope? Do you contemplate on these things every day? Do you meditate on them every day? Without vibrant hope, Christians' lives, they're joyless. Sometimes filled with despair. Why would we despair? I'm not saying we can't feel down from time to time, but we have the body to help us. You make a phone call, call one of the brethren, sit down to lunch, talk it out. And our final thought, as we think about the importance of hope, how important is our spiritual wellness? And this we can do by increasing our hope. Now, we all know how to increase your hope because hope is based on faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We read the Scriptures with the intent that produces hope. Paul said, whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And that's one way that we can build ourselves up, increase our hope. And we meditate on the Word. Remember the psalmist, his delight was in the Word, the law of the Lord. And in His law, what did he do? He meditated day and night. In other words, your hope, if you're feeling a little bit of lack of hope, if you're even feeling hopeless as a child of God, meditate on the Word. The more you meditate on the Word, your hope will be reestablished. It'll be rebuilt up. You'll be lifted on high. And you'll have that joy and that peace that surpasses all understanding. Think about that. We meditate on that Word. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the book of the law, it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. In Psalm 63 and 6, I will remember. When I remember, the psalmist says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you day and night. Paul had reference in the Old Testament here to great hope. How much more hope do we have in the New Testament? We looked at 1 Peter, didn't we? The blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, what did He do? He has begotten us again to a living hope. And also by focusing on the grace to come, resting our hope again fully on the grace to come. What grace will He bring to us when He comes? He'll bring the resurrection of the dead, the revealing of our glory together with Christ, the heavenly city whose builder and founder is God, and that heaven and that new earth, and access to the water of life and the tree of life in the presence of God. And that's a reason to have hope. That's a reason to rejoice. That's a reason to rest fully in the grace that is to come by contemplating on it often. And that's a reason why we should be careful what we say. That's a reason why we should take care to care and love, have love for our brethren. And that's a certainly good reason, an excellent reason, to live in hope. Our spiritual health is reflected by the quality of our hope. Do we possess a favorable and confident expectation of things to come? If not, read the Scripture. Meditate on, make sure that you have that confidence. Does our hope for the future look beyond the difficulties and the end of life? Listen, God and Jesus have given us every reason to have a vibrant hope and to daily check our spiritual wellness so that we don't run in vain. Lord willing, our next lesson will come the next Lord's Day, and that question we'll answer is, how well do you hear if the Lord wills? You know, we pray that the Father above may grant us strength and help us to hold fast to the word of life, that we do not run in vain, that we do not labor without cause, so that we may rejoice in the day of the Lord our Christ. Philippians 2 and 16. May all our hope be in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And may we all stand together as brethren in the body of Christ. On that solid rock we stand. That solid rock is His Word. Remember what He said in in Matthew chapter 7. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house and it did not fall. Stand on the rock. Stand on Jesus. I hope that this gives us all hope in our understanding of the great things of God. You know, I'd like to talk with you. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25. And we talk about hope and how our hope is in Christ and how there are people who have no hope, there are people who have little hope, and there are people who have false hope. In the world that we live in today, there are many people who have false hopes. But the Lord, in chapter 25 of Matthew, beginning in verse 31, He says this, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." There's coming a day. Soon, we pray that the Lord will take every soul ever alive, who has ever lived, whether they're dead or not, He's going to gather everybody together and He's going to divide them up, some on the right and some on the left. And you know, those people on the right are His children. That's people who have believed and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have heard the good news. They have heard the gospel and they believe that gospel and they have repented of their sins. And they have confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were baptized into Christ. Their sins were washed away. God added them to the body of Christ, to the church. And at this time, they're going to be the ones on the right. They have hope. When they see the Lord, even though it will be an awesome day, they have hope. But I want to talk to you about the people on the left. Because Jesus is going to say to the people on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," verse 41. You see, if you're not in Christ, you have no hope. You want hope today, we're here to help you. The water's ready, it's been prepared, all things are ready. The church is here to pray for you. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you've not been baptized, then we encourage you to accept His invitation and come forward this day. You will have hope, immense hope, if you simply obey the Lord. You have nothing to fear. To live as Christ, to die as gain. And if you're a wayward Christian and you have walked literally without hope, and you've allowed sin somehow to enter into your life, you can come back to the Lord this day. We know that He's faithful. If you repent and confess that sin. Whatever you have need this day, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.